بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأما بعد. Sisters, assalamu alaikum. We welcome you to Imam's Ta'aleem, and we're discussing the topic, are Islamic values and American values compatible? And I think, as a well-informed public, I believe that all of us would agree that if we are informed about America and Islam, we would agree that the answer is yes. El-Islam proper, applied properly in the proper understanding, does and is compatible, I should say, with American values. Now let's explore the ways, how, or the way, or why we're saying this. Now, first of all, I want to say to you all, every point that I'm going to make today has to do with the ideal situation. And I want you to know I'm not naive. I'm aware of what America's documents say, and I'm aware of the application. But we're speaking about principles. We're speaking about our Constitution. We're speaking about what El-Islam says. So, focusing on the ideal, when we think about America, we understand that the original motivation for America was a group of people that felt oppressed in what we call Europe now, felt oppressed in England or wherever, whatever we were under there. They felt oppressed by a religious state, by the church, and they came to America to free themselves from oppression and to set up a government that would give respect and dignity to the human family. So this was the original motivation. So we know what Islam says about that. Islam says that oppression is worse than outright slaughter. So the idea is one would rather be dead than oppressed. The American government, the American society was founded upon a belief in God Almighty, who they called the Creator. Now, there's some of us in America today that would argue that America is a Christian nation. That's not true. The framers of the Constitution, the framers of the Declaration of Independence, were careful not to use quote-unquote Christian language. In other words, they used terms like creator. Now, I will admit America is majority Christian, but they wanted a society that welcomed all faiths, a society that welcomed all people. So they used the term creator. They didn't say Jesus. They didn't say Allah. They said creator. So praise be to Allah. So that's something to keep in mind. I believe that they saw God as this all-powerful, eternal, this creator of the skies and the earth and everything in between. I believe that's how they saw the creator. For us as Muslims, it's all about Allah. I'm going to use a term, not a theocracy though. This term theocracy means that a person takes upon themselves to be God's representative on earth, and that they're being inspired or spoke to or dictated to by God. No, when we say it's all about God, what we're saying is there's a group of men and women that come together looking to God's guidance, discussing things in that context and implementing in the society, realizing that we're human, that we can make mistakes, that we are not absolute. There's some religious communities that say, even there's a group of Muslims that say, the religious leaders are infallible. We don't believe that in Islam. The only perfect one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe in that one God as the head of everything, and that God gives us guidance in every quarter of our life. We believe that. So America says things like, we hold these truths. This is the Declaration of Independence, which some would say is the preamble to the Constitution. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all human beings are created equal. Now, we know that when they said those words, they didn't consider at least the African people as human. So they were speaking among themselves. But the language was there, and the language left itself open to someone, for someone to reinterpret that at some point in the future. So now we're included. At one time called 3/5 of a human being, but now we're included. So we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all human beings are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, we'll look at that a little bit closer, but this term, inalienable, suggests man did not give this creature the right, so man doesn't have the right to take it away from them. When we say inalienable, we're suggesting that these are God-given rights, like the right to breathe. Praise be to Allah. So, in Islam, those of us that know our history, at least in America, at least among our community, Masjid Bilal, which is associated with an earlier community called the Nation of Islam, which we grew and evolved out of that. But from that beginning in Islam, our first description of Islam is that Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. The first definition we gotten was not entire submission to the will of God, obedience to God's will. What we say Islam means peace and all that. We didn't get that definition first. The first definition we got is Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. And you have to appreciate a people that was given that message that did not have freedom, not true freedom, certainly did not have justice and equality. So this appealed to us. Matter of fact, Imam Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, grant him the highest stations in the paradise. He said it one time. That is what attracted him to Islam. He said, if certain other teachers of Islam taught Islam the way many teach today, that wouldn't have interested him. That wouldn't have attracted him. This idea of justice, this idea of freedom and equality is what got his attention. What else did we say? Not only did we say that Islam is freedom, justice, and equality, we were promised plenty of money, good homes, and friendship in all walks of life. What is the point, Shakir? The point is this. The intention behind the phrase in the Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness, is interpreted to mean that you will be allowed to own property. So, can you see Mr. Farrar understanding the American Constitution, understanding the way of America, and giving us, enticing us with that same invitation and that same message, even though at the time we were denied that opportunity? What is America's creed? America's creed is the American creed of government is of the people, for the people, and by the people. Now again, brothers and sisters, we know at this point it's a farce. It's a sham at this point. It's not being fully realized. That's why I like the term of former President Barack Obama. He reminded us that we're moving towards a more perfect union. We're not even close. This is an experimental democracy. But the idea is government of the people, for the people, by the people. So again, our topic is Islam compatible with American values, Islamic value, American values. Well, what is our system of government? Do we not also get our leaders from the people give our trust to leaders, both male and female. The highest office in the land and departments are given to people by people. And after the religion, the leaders are expected to govern and serve with the people's interests, the people's healthy aspirations in mind. So again, I'm showing you compatibility. I like the way Imam Muhammad offered this phrase, radiallahu anhu, and some Muslims have trouble with this. They don't believe that democracy is compatible with Islam. Maybe certain aspects of democracy is not compatible, because there's a broad democracy that includes everything, that allows everything. And Islam does not include and allow everything. We don't allow Las Vegas. We don't allow intoxicants. We don't make any of that legal. Free sex. We don't allow those things. Homosexuality. These are things that Islam does not promote and allow. So no, not in that sense. But in a fundamental sense, when you're talking about representatives of the people, representing the people's healthy goals and aspirations, Imam Muhammad used this phrase, a participatory democracy. He said Islam is a participatory democracy. This word participatory, try saying that fast. This word also embodies what America is about, meaning what? Get involved. Be involved. Even today, we are still registering people to vote. They might be 70 years old and they haven't voted yet. So this idea of, if you want to make a change, this idea, if you're going to improve America, you got to be engaged in the process. You have to be involved. Islam says the same thing. Action, faith in deeds, faith in works. So we are about a participatory democracy, involving the people, empowering the people, using the people. America also has something that we call representative government. We even have a branch of government called the House of Representatives. The idea is they are supposed to be there. They have so many votes or so much connected with them, but they're representing their constituents. They're representing the people in their home state, in their home area. So the idea is all the people can't be in Washington, so you have a representative in Washington. And again, brothers and sisters, the unfortunate part is that they do not represent the people most of the time. That's the unfortunate part, and that's a reality, and that's why people are disenchanted. That's why people are what's the use? My vote don't count. Why should I? It's the defeatist attitude and defeatist spirit. But what do we have? Allah gives us in the Quran a command to conduct our affairs by mutual consultation. Really, in Islam, sisters and brother, this is not an option. You don't have dictators in Islam. You don't make arbitrary decisions. You get feedback from the people. And I see that certain government people, they apply this principle. Whether in San Antonio, we call it city council, who have different constituents. The mayor sits and convenes meetings and they have discussions. Whether it's the president of the United States, they have cabinet members, they have the secretary of this, the secretary of that, and they have experts in certain fields, homeland security, education, the surgeon general in the medical field. In other words, the president doesn't know all these things, so he gets advice as he's shaping and forming policies. And we do a lot of times the majority rule type thing. And that's not against Islam, but the idea of shura, mutual consultation, is in the areas, in the absence of clear guidance from God, and Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace. That would be the difference. They may not even include God, even though they'll open up a session with a prayer. They'll swear somebody in by putting their hand on scripture. So they're not truly void of religion and government, but they say separation of church and state. My point is, if Allah leaves it general, and Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, did not address it, then we'll discuss it among ourselves with the objective of God's will being manifest through the discussion process. In other words, we engage enough of our minds, enough of our experts in the area that we need guidance in, and through the process, we're led to, inshallah, God's will, because that's what the objective is all the time. So again, I'm showing you, I'm bringing the evidence, as they say, that Islamic democracy or the religion of al-Islam is compatible with American values. Look at America's position on human life. Now, sometimes, again, in application, we may question it. How sometimes it seems like we may sacrifice many people for some other objective or some material gain or material objective. We're not free from that. But in our values, we say human life is the most precious, the most sacred thing. We say one human life. We talk about saving one human life. We'll go to war. We'll try to rescue hostages, 2 and 3 hostages. We got 360 million people, but we will sacrifice and put ourselves in harm's way for one. That's a beautiful concept. Allah also addresses that concept in Cain and Abel in the Quran, talking about that. Actually, of course, I won't get into all of this, but first Allah condemns the action of Cain, killing his brother Abel. But then he comes back, he lays out a principle from that. And what is the principle? The principle is, if you save one human life, it is though you have saved all humanity. And if you take one human life or destroy one human life, it is though you have destroyed and killed humanity. Is that not similar to what America is saying? Yes. America talks about the dignity of the human being. Islam talks about the dignity of the human being. The human being deserving of respect, honor, dignity. And it's not supposed to be based on race. It's not supposed to be based on financial backing or abilities or how much you have, what kind of car you drive, how big your house is. It's not supposed to be that, but some of us are that superficial. The idea is, though, all life is sacred. All human beings deserve dignity, deserve respect, deserve consideration. These are Islamic ideals and values. America also says what? They are charitable people. Now, in government, sometimes this becomes an argument. Our Republican branch says, no, less government. Let the people pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Give business independence. Let the business people take care of the people. Where the Democratic branch is more for social programs, taking care of the homeless, health care, etc., doing things for people that they can't do for themselves. So my point here is, but the American people are very charitable. We have seen one natural catastrophe after another, and the way the American people rally behind that, and personal sacrifice, donate money, goods, services, time. They will travel. They'll go to Haiti and spend 2 months over in Haiti or something to help people. Charitable. And this sense of neighbor, being a good neighbor. American people are known for that. Again, sisters and brothers, is this not Islamic concepts? Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, taught us that if we go to bed knowing that our neighbor is hungry, you know, you're not of this community. That's not what we're about. And there also is a hadith that Imam Muhammad radiallahu anhu phrased this way, that the Prophet talked so much about the rights of neighbors that he felt that the community, the companions felt that the neighbors were going to inherit them, that they were going to have access to all of their goods. Praise be to Allah. So brothers and sisters, what else do we see? Americans have this idea of being blessed, being fortunate, being a wealthy nation, even though only the upper 1% is the real wealthy. But even the industrious striving poor realize that there's some third world countries that don't have running water, they don't have health care, good food to eat, etc. They live in shacks, they wear the same clothes over and over again. So they realize that we're a fortunate nation. We are a blessed nation. So what happens with that? There's this idea that almost to a fault that we will take care of others. Because of the way Allah has blessed us, we will take care of others. And I say almost to a fault because some people argue America tries to be everybody's savior. America tries to be everybody's police person. We can't do it. But the heart of the people is, hey, take care of those starving people in Sudan. Take care of those people over there in China. Take whatever. This, the idea is we are fortunate. We are blessed. So let us take care of the less fortunate. Again, brothers and sisters, is this not an Islamic concept? When we talk about zakat, Allah specifically mentions what zakat is used for. So the idea is, as I said recently, they asked Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, what should we spend in charity? He said, spend beyond your means. So this idea of surplus and extra, you need to bless someone else when this happens. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Now, I realize that some of us have a difficult time forgiving America for the way that we have been treated in the past and are being treated as of July 1st, 2018. So some of us have a difficulty with this forgiveness. But what's amazing about our capacity, even in at the height of chattel slavery, even at the height of lynchings and hangings and tarring and abuse, we still found it in ourselves to show love to our abusers, to take care of their children. And this wasn't all fear. Yes, some of it was motivated by fear, but some of it was just our humanity. Allah has just blessed us with a wonderful humanity and an ability and a capacity to forgive and not indict all because of the few. And we have seen evidence over time that even in the midst and the height of the most abusive slavery ever existing on the planet, some of our white brothers and sisters would come to our aid and risk their own life to help us. This is all documented in history. So, I know it's hard for us to forgive sometimes. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we must insist that they live up to the values of this nation. See, many of us are just check out. Many of us will just point out, criticize, and complain. What are we doing to make a difference? What are we doing to make a change? How involved are we? So I must insist that, or pardon me, we must insist that this nation live up to their beautiful ideals and values. How many of you remember Dr. Martin Luther King quoting the Constitution, quoting various things to remind them of the contradiction in their behavior? What's in writing? He called it a promissory note. You've promised us something. It's time for us to cash in on it. It's time for us to realize this promise, this great American promise. Because there was great contradiction, great hypocrisy in our application, in what we said, and even what we told the rest of the world. Some of you might remember Frederick Douglass. I love this phrase that he's on record as saying, trying to prick the consciousness of white America, the decent people of America. He said that you look so beautiful in the face. Now, this is not literal. What he's saying is you dress up nice. You have the right phrases. And on paper, you look good. Okay, so you look so beautiful in the face, but your behavior is such that would shame a group of savages. This is what Frederick Douglass is saying to them. And we pride ourselves on being a civilized nation. So he's saying, you don't look the part at all. You don't look very civilized at all. So brothers and sisters, this is not comprehensive, but I've really already given the answer, given the proof enough to show you that we have a wonderful opportunity in this country. Any of us that have traveled overseas can see the blessings that we have in this nation. Is America all right? Is America, does it have weaknesses? Is it all right? First of all, no, it's not all right. Does America have weaknesses and shortcomings? Absolutely. Is there room for improvement? Major improvement. But why do so many people come here? They come here with a hope and actually an ability in many cases to realize a freedom and an opportunity that they don't have in their own country. And let's keep it in the context of Islam. We say we have the best constitution. We say Quran and Sunnah. We say Quran and life of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace. We got these Muslim nations, some 42 or more, might be more than that, with a majority of Muslim citizens. But they're locking them up. They're telling them how to teach the religion. Don't get too serious about this. Their constitution is not an Islamic constitution. They have Las Vegas and strip clubs and everything else going on over there. You're oppressing your people. You're not educating your women in some cases. When this religion, the Prophet modeled education. So what is my point? There's more. Many Muslims feel they're more free. They have a greater opportunity to live their religion in these United States than even in the quote unquote Muslim countries. So I say, kufi off to the American people, not hats off, kufi off, right? Tip my kufi. We have a lot to do to get it lined up. We are not reconciled yet. But I want to say that for me, call me what you want. There's no other place that I'm interested in living at this time than these United States. For at least 400 years and some change, my ancestors have lived and died and shed blood and lost blood and whatever in this nation. my opportunity is here. What's owed to me is here. And that's what we have to keep moving towards and keep striving. So I will end, by the reminder in the Quran. If you want to make the note, Surah Ali Imran, the 110th ayah. You are the best of communities that Allah has raised up for all mankind. You stand on what's right, you invite to what's right, good, wholesome, and you reject, condemn, fight against those things that are destructive, against Allah, against humanity. You are that people that I have evolved over time. I have brought you out. Another verse says, let there arise out of you a band of people and joining to all that's good, forbidding what is wrong. Allah will always do that. And I'm happy to say more and more Muslims are answering that invitation. Not just the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but Allah has put something in the hearts and minds of many of our younger Muslim brothers and sisters that are descendants of immigrant Muslims to this nation, but they're citizens, and they're giving more time and energy to this. So that's all we know. This community, that's all we know. We've always been about civil rights and activism and, you know, making a difference. You know, this idea of justice, this is all Islam, and this idea being just, even be against your own self. So let's get involved. And I'm going to say, don't get mad at me for using this phrase. I'm going to modify it. Let's get involved and let's truly make America great again. Not that stuff. Let's truly make America great again. Thank you, brother and sisters. Assalamu alaikum.